Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio today. Nice to have you with us again. I'm excited because today we're doing part two of our interview series with Dr. Laurie Anderson, who was here last week. As some of you may recall, she is a well-known psychologist and an executive coach who specializes in leadership, career planning, and personal effectiveness. She has over 30 years of work as a social scientist, a clinical psychologist, and as a coach literally to thousands of people all over the world. She's an amazing, amazing lady. Now, in that interview last week, she encouraged us to, and let's put it this way, she helps people who want to be better and want to get better. That's really the bottom line, and that's a goal. And in that interview last week, she encouraged those of us who want to be better and get better to rethink and perhaps reject the never-ending demands and pressures of our modern lives. Something she first tried in her life as a business owner and as a single mom of two kids was to write her own report card to define what excellence really should look like in her terms and in terms of improving her focus and self-confidence and life enjoyment. And once she introduced that to her clients all around the world, it really became a best practice for them as well. Write your own report card. Today, Dr. Anderson is going to take some time to take us through another opportunity that faces so many people. While the COVID-19 pandemic is not entirely behind us yet, there are growing expectations for us that we're going to go back to work as normal. By that, we mean what it was like before March of 2020, where you got up, you got early, you got in the car, and you commuted to your job. For many of us, the forced lockdown became a time of reflection and even a chance for a reset of how we work going forward. Now, for those of you who aren't heads of a business or organization or sole practitioners, redesigning how you might want to change your work life requires a conversation. Generally, that would be with your manager or your boss. Today, Dr. Anderson is going to talk you through how you might approach that conversation. You might call it a renegotiation with your boss. And her suggestions, really, are very timely. She explains they can serve you even beyond this moment in time. And she's excited to hear more about what she's learned and what she recommends. We are. I'm excited to hear more about what we've learned and what she recommends today. She has a fabulous website. Let me give you this because you may want to refer to the website while you're listening to the broadcast. Her website is drlaurieanderson.com. Dr. Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, you know that, and Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, drlaurieanderson.com. Go there. You'll learn all about her and how she helps people, and it's really great to have her back with us today. She's based out in the Chicago area in Oak Park, Illinois, so we say good morning to Dr. Laurie Anderson. Dr. Anderson, welcome back. Nice to have you here. How are you?
Thank you so much, Doug. I'm really excited to talk to you and everybody who's listening.
Okay. Well, listen, a lot of people didn't hear the show last week, but that's all right. What you're going to talk about today is very good. We're talking about renegotiation your job and what that might really entail. And basically, I'm right. People come to you because they want to be better in some aspect of their lives, really. It's what it comes down to, isn't it? Am I right there?
You are right, and better doesn't mean better in your eyes. It's better in my eyes, and that's the pivot. My people who know me have my, could improve list. I'm sure it's quite long now. This is my to improve list, and one of the things that has been so important is look at the relationship we're having with our work and how it allows other life priorities. The headline generally is badly. Work and other priorities have been bumping, could be crashing, could be exploding, and this is a moment to revisit that. So that's the better in today's conversation.
I want to ask you to step back just a moment because, and I know you talked about this last week, but when you said your goal when you started all that, you wanted to write your own report card. Define that again. I think it's a great idea, but what did you actually end up writing? What do people do? And I know you have your clients do that. Write your report card. What do you expect
Absolutely.
Them to write?
And there's a summary of that on the website for free if people want more specifics. So here's what happened is I felt badly almost all the time. Even though as I'm walking down the street, I look normal. My clothes match, the house and the children and all that. But inside, when things didn't go perfectly, I had no relationship with good enough, perfectly, it just went inside me, and I couldn't easily let it go. So one day my kids come home, and they're complaining about the third time of the week they're having chili. Okay, fine. And I'm a single working mom, and they should be glad that they're fed, but it's the chili. I guess they're bored. And I had that moment, that aha moment with this, wait a second. I hear you. Chili is boring, but it's not where I'm looking to get an A, and that is what started it. I thought, so where am I looking to get an A? And why would I, you know, consult them, their kids? So I started there. I had my priorities for the family. I have it for work. It's a mindset now, which is when I'm doing something hard. My mother, 94, on oxygen in Connecticut, COVID. I'm thinking, I don't know that she's going to make it, right? I'm in Chicago. So my A was not saving her life. My A was investing in letting her know every day stories from our childhood and how I appreciate her. Awesome. I got an A for pandemic behavior towards my aging mom. So does that make sense?
Yeah, good. That's great.
I have
Absolutely
to step back
great.
And look at it.
Okay. All right, let's talk about this renegotiation you talk about of how your life is right now and how you might approach that whole thing. You call it renegotiation. Why is this topic so important to you, by the way?
So it was personally important, you know, back when I became a single working mom because I was the money provider. And that's not unique to me, and many people have that experience. But I also was the primary parent. So I'm trying to juggle this. And I had to figure out how to engage someone who would pay me with shaping for my life. So I remember being terrified about that. Like I could not threaten, you know, an assignment, which was, you know, 12-hour days or whatever it was. So I had to learn how to. And at first I thought it was a negotiation. Let me just say this about that. I'm not a big practitioner of negotiating, which means technically initiating a deal. It's like negotiating price on a house. You agree something and they leave and you live in there, hopefully not with the seller. The point with work is we're still in relationship with them. So for me, I had to pivot. It's not my way or the highway. It had to be, how do we do this? And that's where I learned a much more customized process of leaning in and saying, hey, here's a proposal I have going forward. I was working a 3-day class. There was an hour commute both ways. I'm in Chicago. There's sideways hail. It's a problem. You know, and I had to be there at 8 a.m. to leave at 6. The whole thing was hard on me. So after a year, they wanted to take that program on the road. Well, that's not going to work for me, but I didn't want to lose the gig. I wanted to be responsible for the classes in Chicago. Everybody said, don't tell them that. They'll see you as high maintenance. They, you know, this is not about you. And I thought, why is it not about us? So this is the first time I thought, I'm going to go in slow. It's really critical. I'm going to have some facts about how my facilitation was rated compared to others. I proved my value. And I said, what about the possibility? And so I started shaping, and I became the facilitator in Chicago. And by the way, they did not give me a standing ovation for my bravery or, you know, resolve, by the way. They allowed it,
Yeah.
And then ultimately I did move on. I needed to learn how to do this, and then I found out that women do not speak up as often as men. Secondly, there is an epidemic of overwork, and we don't think we have any leverage in our individual lives to shape that to better fit us. So that's what I do.
That's interesting. Let me ask you to explain a little bit, number one, about the people who come to you. What brings them to you? And by the way, it's I assume it's men as well as women that you work with.
It is.
You know, and your website is great. And, you know, I'm looking here. You're quoted all the time in all the, you know, from the Boston Globe to the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune. It goes on and on, you know, CBS, NBC. Everybody quotes your advice. So when people come to you, what's the main damn thing they want? Are they just dissatisfied with life as it is right now? Is that it?
No, it's a terrific question, because my little niche in terms of making a living, so again, I really want to specify the decades where I had to bring in an income. You know, in my mind, I had to go to people who would pay me for being smart and didn't really need to see me. And those tended to be senior executives. They just didn't care what I looked like. If I could make them smarter and more effective, they were in. So what happened is I was very purposeful in targeting performers, achievers, who wanted more. They would come to me with more. I want to get better at this. And I may say something like, how's your family life? And they might say, what family life, right? So I was able to lean in once we had that relationship. At this point, I'm in my 60s, I can now open my counsel to anybody. Does that make sense? So when people come,
sure.
my superpower is the relationship between work and family or other priorities. It doesn't have to be children. But I have studied this. I'm a scientist. My children think I have no friends. I read the dictionary when I was 4. I want to find out what has made a difference. I'm not going to make something up on somebody else's time, you know, moment. So the things I come up with, I test them. So I got work from reputation, but now I want to write, I want to speak, I want to say, there is better for all of us, but I might not meet you for lunch anymore.
Okay.
I don't mean that to dog or just in general.
No, I know. I understand that. I have to ask you a question. Your background is really quite amazing. But in addition to your master's in applied social psychology and your PhD, you have a BA in Asian history.
Why did you
do that? Why? How do you use that?
I was curious. I was curious, and it was at the 70s where, you know, there were law concerts on the lawn. So I remember I didn't think vocationally at that point. I loved learning. I went to Westland, Connecticut, and they were just a little out there in terms of, but I also double majored in sociology, which was very helpful. I'd never taken a psychology class. I had to bargain my way, negotiate, if you will, into a doctoral program in sociology, because I'd never taken the first course. So,
well,
I'm a thinker, I'm a learner.
Well, obviously it's done you very well. I just wondered, you know, it's quite interesting what you're doing and what you studied to have a BA in Asian history. You would assume you might be doing something totally different with that study. But to get back to the clients who come, and by the way, I assume you have, you know, a lot of senior executives from business corporations, as well as, you know, a mom who's a working mom and dissatisfied. It covers the gamut of people who come to you.
I'm now working with my Uber driver, because here's a, you know, this
really?
Woman who's
cool.
Doing, you know, yes, it is my passion.
So how long do you generally work with someone till they go out on their own? How would you answer that?
So it depends. It's a great question, and it really depends. I have people in my life, if you will, in my practice, that I met 20, 30 years ago, where they start and I follow them where they were a manager and now they're a C-level executive at Starbucks or Discover Financial, you know, mm-hmm. McDonald's, places you may have heard of. Mm-hmm. So there's a relationship, a partnership there. I'm also very invested in keeping my eyes open for where I can add value. But because I was a working mom, I was somewhat contained. I protected my time, not because I didn't care. So I went with the easier contracts. Does that make sense? I had a private practice where you could come and see me for an hour. That was a little harder. I ended up working with people that would pay me for 6 months. But I was, the one other thing, I'm not a traditional psychotherapist, although I licensed clinically. My area of passion had to do with what will make it better. Does that make sense? So pretty quickly, I work fast, I talk fast, and I got something for you to try. And how it rolled. My children have left. I have more time.
Right. Well, and congratulations. As you pointed out, you have two sons who have college degrees and no debt. That obviously is a lot
huge
to do with your teaching them the right way. Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about this business of renegotiating. When somebody comes to you and you know they need to change their lifestyle or whatever, and they need to renegotiate, tell me what you tell them about renegotiation. What do they have to think about? What do they have to do?
Okay, so this is such an important question. What's different is the fact that this is, at the moment, an ongoing relationship where they are not the principal decider. Are you with me? So I've worked with C-level executives who report to someone. Are you with me?
Right.
The CEO, right. I'm the CFO.
Right.
He's finance. I report to the chief. So what's interesting about work is there is a hierarchy. This is not truly buying a house. There's a hierarchy, and that is the context. There are people quitting now. They call and say, I've had it. And I remind them about relationships. Let's say marriage. You picked the person, dated, you courted, you had a big party called a wedding, and now they're annoying. Who could have imagined? Now, you can leave Bob, go with Sam, but here's what I'm going to promise you. Sam's going to be annoying, too. Maybe differently annoying, but annoying. Are you with me? How
mm-hmm.
you work on a marriage is different from how you leave and find someone else. So how you work within your current job work is different. It's different because you don't want to blow it up. You want to learn how to master your emotions. You're thinking about what will benefit you and them. So right now, in this historical moment, the biggest issues is where should we work? You mentioned this in your opening, the commute.
Right.
The time lost, right? So we
right.
we're all locked down, so somehow we made it through. But there are every day important, powerful people saying, let's get back. So the future is about being more flexible with that. How do you engage your current employer to move past the pandemic experience into a novel arrangement for them? They're policymakers. I'm not urging people to wait till there's a big policy change. So my people call and said, I've been commuting from home and I like it better. I'm able to be more flexible with their other priorities. I can have uninterrupted time. I can do X, Y, and Z. And I really am getting the same amount done. Great. Guess what? Your employer is concerned about that. So if you say to them, I want to revisit this, you better be prepared to show what the benefit to them is. And they're most concerned about, can I trust you? Will you be productive? And what about, believe it or not, security? Like, I don't know if your Wi-Fi is secure, et cetera, because companies take care of that. The more important point is that it has to have benefits for them. It's not just about us. That's what makes it work. This is one gigantic group project. So here's what employers are concerned about. How do we build a culture? How do you build a team? How do we evaluate your performance? How do I run into you in the hallway and solve world hunger? So with the renegotiation, I'm encouraging people to attend to that. Go forward in your head. You're not saying, hey, look at me, I made it through the pandemic and I got my work done. It's looking ahead. Here's what I see as valuable. Here's why it works for me, and I can be more focused and productive. Here's the way I'll address the teaming and culture building. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. It does.
Give
the question
time.
Is, I just want to ask you some of the questions. What are some of the risks that you could be facing in doing this, in attempting to do this, and how would you avoid those risks? How do you answer that?
No, it's so important. I have had people at all levels with all income nervous. The risk people describe most commonly is I'm going to expose my lack of satisfaction. And I'm going to then be considered not a happy camper here. And that's the big one. Now, sometimes that's imagined, and sometimes it's real. I got a story, someone had, big financial institution, 20,000 employees, and a very senior person during the lockdown, she commuted, she worked from, another state. And her boss said, well, this is going to end, and have to, start coming back and get an apartment here in Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. And she was nervous. That's what you have to do. What should I say? He's already made it clear what he wants. So the risk people feel is that they will reveal something, which is why I very much urge people to go slowly into this. I'm considering. I would like to try a pilot. I know we had to do it. I'd like to try it for 3 months. So you're not being my way or the highway about it.
Right.
The other risk, and this is, I want to say this clearly, the other risk that I want people to confront is you may find out if your values are in sync. You do not need to leave today, but do you want to know that? It's like when you're dating, you find out the partner doesn't want children and you do. You kind of want to know that, even though it's hard in the moment. I had someone who was renegotiating her relationship with her employer, and they made it clear they're not interested in where she's going. So it took a year, but she's now leading. So people are sort of heads down in this moment. They're just surviving. In order for us to thrive, we've got to step back and move towards better.
Okay. I got it. That's interesting. Very. Do most of your clients that you coach in this aspect of their lives who attempt to renegotiate, does it work for them? And are they glad they've done it? Has it changed their life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or I would be finding plan B and talking to you about the better way, because I would be bad. So absolutely. The track record is positive. But I want to say this. What I call success is not that the other gave us a standing ovation and a raise,
yeah,
along with an apartment. I call success. You learned, spoke up, your practice of speaking to better fit your work life is going to serve you in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, right? We're not done with this overwork problem. So point number one. Point number two, they learned a skill. I was a horrible negotiator. I mean, I was not a negotiator. I was a, not a negotiator. I remember seeing a book in my 20s and it said, life is a constant negotiation. I wanted to cry. A loaf of bread. I don't know. It was just awful news to me. I'm not that my way or the highway, but this is a conversation about possibilities, and we're not good about that. We react. We wait till it builds up inside, and we have these moments. So the ability to anticipate an important conversation, prepare, go slow, master your response to what you may hear that you don't like even in the moment. I will say to my clients, what will you say if your boss, it's usually a boss, says, that's the worst idea I ever heard, and get back to your area right away. So they need
right.
It's never happened, but let me just say this. You want to prepare for that. You want to say, okay, it sounds like you saw no benefits from that. Would that be fair? It sounds like you're
exactly.
concerned. Is it okay for me to hear more? You don't take it personally. It feels bad. It's about your future. So if they have a bad response, and we would call that a bad response, right? You still need to learn what the concerns are. So what's the matter if they say, go back to your area, they'll never bring that up again. You can say, well, it seems like this was not a good moment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and organize some more information, and I'll see if we can revisit. I'm telling you, you stand steady, respectful in that space. I had someone just last week go back and back and be patient, and turns out the boss got in trouble the way he was handling.
Really? Wow.
Better. Yes, because this is a moment. I'm going to say this to everybody. We always should do it. Our life is precious. Our time is precious. Work
for sure.
Taking over. So we got to look at this. We, this is just so important. And in that moment, if your relationship or arrangement right now is not ideal, we want to learn how to shape it. But everybody's paying attention right now. I don't know if this is going to last another week or month.
This
is a moment for all of us because it's a conversation. Does that make sense?
Listen, that's great advice, Dr. Anderson, and I wish we had another hour to talk to you because we could certainly use it, and I know you could advise us, but we've run out of time. The important thing here is anybody who really, if they'd like to talk to you, learn from you, they can get in touch with you easily. And it's simply go on your website, drlaurieanderson.com. That's the way to get in touch with a doctor. You can look up her background, and you can look up how she helps so many people, literally, from all over the world. So it doesn't matter where you are. Go to your computer, drlaurieanderson.com. Dr. Anderson, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for being with us today. These two conversations with you have been very illuminating, and we respect you, and thank you so much for your time. Okay?
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And that'll wrap it up for today. We're out of time, folks. Glad you could be with us, and I hope you learned something. I know I did, and that's important.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We certainly do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time, folks. Bye for now.